And at the same time, we wonder about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness that we're living in, because part of Prabhupada's glories is that he founded an International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And within, after his disappearance, that, or during Prabhupada's presence, it seemed as if, for the most part, ISKCON was progressing in terms of making new members, establishing new temples, and printing more books and distributing them. So now, although some of these things are still going on, some in more places than others, still there's been more of a struggle in ISKCON, especially since our understanding of what is ISKCON, what is Prabhupada's teachings, etc., that is, for the most part, seem to be somewhat confused. And indeed, confused to who? For ourselves personally, and maybe for others. So every class that any one of Prabhupada's representatives give will be to try to clarify confusion. Therefore we say, Om Agyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. That we're trying to go from darkness, from conditioned life, to the light of Krishna consciousness, where everything is seen clearly. So though all of you may be liberated souls, in the sense that you all see things clearly, not that I'm assuming that, because otherwise I wouldn't try to make a class which is applicable to the current circumstance and to the current audience. But at the same time, our repeating Prabhupada's message, we're trying to understand it, means to try to make things clearer. Not that after some class that everything becomes clearer, that we're all liberated souls, is known, we've understood everything perfectly. So the points I want to make about Prabhupada, of course we've heard often how Prabhupada was an extraordinary personality, and he did extraordinary things, and sometimes, as Prithu Maharaj, he was glorified also for extraordinary things, but he also wanted them to be put into perspective, what his extraordinary abilities might be in the future. And at the same time, to underestimate an acharya who does great activities is also not good. In other words, to imagine Prabhupada to be someone that he wasn't, or to underestimate who he actually was, in both sides will misunderstand Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, he didn't like the idea of his disciples, for instance, trying to figure out what his rasa was. He didn't think it was very relevant for his mission or for our taking advantage of his mission. Whether Prabhupada was in a manjari in Madhurya rasa, or a Priyanama Saka in Sakya rasa, Prabhupada did not find that very interesting to distribute. Matter of fact, he found it quite the opposite. He objected quite strongly to those things. And Prabhupada presented himself in a certain way, and we may reject that as being simply due to his humility. The problem with that is that if we do that, then we'll probably be rejecting Krishna's teachings also. And that won't be due to our humility. So we have to try to understand Prabhupada as properly as possible. So the main point I want to make in this class, and just try to explain it, is that Prabhupada didn't deviate from Krishna's instructions, for instance, in Bhagavad Gita. That Krishna has given us, in summary, the process of perfection in Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada didn't deviate from that, nor did he take the credit for being something other than what he was, what he claimed to be. In other words, everything Prabhupada said and did was based upon Krishna's instructions coming down in the simple succession. He didn't try to be something more than that. although members of ISKCON and even outside of ISKCON we're finding now, they're trying to make Prabhupada something more than that. And by doing that, they're actually making him a lot less than that. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Arjuna, Tasmat Tvamutishti Ashola Vasva, Jitva Shatrum Bhukshva Rajan Samridam, Mayaivata Niyatam Purvameva, Nin Mitra Matram Bhavasava Sachin. Just get up and prepare to fight, and after conquering your enemies, you'll enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They're already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. So Krishna was expecting Arjuna to be his instrument. Now, if we consider what could be better than being Krishna's instrument, can anyone point out something better than being Krishna's instrument? Some other greater perfection? In other words, Krishna didn't tell Arjuna that I want you to become, you know, some superman on the battlefield and kill everyone just by, you know, one utterance. You all die, and then everyone in the battlefield dies, and then we know Arjuna was empowered by Krishna. No, Krishna simply wanted Arjuna to do what he wanted Arjuna to do. And if Arjuna surrendered, that would be his perfection, surrendered to Krishna's desire. Similarly, Prabhupada said that was his perfection, is that he simply repeated the message of Krishna which came down in disciple succession. Of course, he didn't repeat it like a parrot. He understood the message. He understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he wasn't embarrassed to repeat Krishna's instructions as he understood them. He repeated Krishna's instructions according to his understanding, and that understanding didn't deviate from his spiritual master's understanding. So Prabhupada, throughout his whole teachings, he was quite consistent. He was consistent that he said that I am simply, if I have any success, it's that I'm a strict follower of my spiritual master. And what did my spiritual master ask me to do? He asked me that if you get any money, then print books. Oh, yeah, maybe. Here, you can give it back to me. So if you get any money, then print books. And he also had a plan. He understood Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's plan to preach Krishna consciousness cooperatively. So between those two things, preaching Krishna consciousness cooperatively in order to distribute transcendental knowledge, especially in the form of transcendental literature. That this was his spiritual master's desire, and this was Prabhupada's mission, and Prabhupada's greatness, he said, came from his understanding this and fulfilling that mission. So, I'll just read some things here. Prabhupada said, this is from an arrival address, Los Angeles, June 20th, 1975. Prima City Room. It happens when the pujari stays awake at night. I have no personal qualification, but I simply try to satisfy my guru. That's all. My guru Maharaj asked me that if you get some money, you print books. So there was a private meeting, talking. Some of my important god brothers also there. I was in Radhakund, so my Guru Maharaj was speaking to me that since we have got this Bagh Bazar marble temple, there has been so many dissensions, and everyone thinking, who will occupy this room or that room, that room? I wish, therefore, to sell this temple and the marble and print some books. Yes, I took it up from his mouth that he is very fond of books, and he told me personally that if you get some money, print books. Therefore, I am stressing on this point. Where is book? Where is book? Where is book? So kindly help me. This is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the world. Then Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase. Now the educated, learned scholars, they're appreciating our movement by reading books, by taking practical results. So So Prabhupada emphasizes distribution of transcendental knowledge as the primary means of distributing Krishna consciousness. It wasn't his only instruction about how we should run our movement or the only way of spreading Krishna consciousness, but he stressed it above everything else because he got that idea from his spiritual master. And also, he wanted to form a movement where people could cooperate to spread Krishna consciousness. So now there is some conception on succumbing from some ideas that there are different types of gurus, and indeed there are different types of gurus. But the qualification, just like there's Shiksha Guru, there's Vartma Pradakshika Guru, there's Diksha Guru, and these are explained within Prabhupada's literature. Explained within the Vedic literature what these different types of gurus are, and how, ultimately it's explained how they're representatives of Krishna. Now, as far as different levels of guru, a liberated guru and a non-liberated guru, this is another idea I think that has come up, that some gurus are liberated and we should strictly follow them, and some gurus aren't so liberated and we don't really have to take them so seriously. So, at least from my vision, and I happen to hear a lot of information coming from different sources, there's extremes, just like we have our Ridviks, and we have our Gaudiya Math. So in the Gaudiya Math, some people are proclaiming that my guru is a Mahabhagavat, and your gurus are all conditioned souls. And then we have the Ridvik saying that no one is guru. Only Prabhupada can be guru. Only Prabhupada, you know, that we're all actually supposed to become followers of Prabhupada. So we have many different extreme understandings. But unfortunately, all these extreme understandings, they all contradict what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita as the process of becoming self-realized. So we can follow any path we want, but if our aim is to become Krishna conscious, then we have to examine it from what Krishna said. Now, it's not that in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna said one thing and then he said, well, maybe I made a mistake and, you know, actually, don't worry, later on someone will come along and correct me. But, you know, they'll reprint my message. But the basic philosophy in Bhagavad Gita is consistent throughout all the books. Just explained a little bit more in detail. So Krishna says that he's God. So that's the basic principle we have to have faith in, that Krishna is God, that he knows everything. If we don't really have faith in Krishna being God, then of course we'll try and speculate on what he says. And then he says, the way people find out about my being God is they glorify me. And different levels of people glorify me. Some people, they glorify me and they derive satisfaction, and others derive great pleasure. But for those who hear my message and they follow it, in proportion to how much they take up my message, my service, and how enthusiastic they are about them, then I give them intelligence by which they can make progress in just that, how to become more enthusiastic and how to become more steadily engaged in devotional service. And Krishna says, Tesham eva nukam paratam aham agyana jam tamaha, that I am in everyone's heart, and out of compassion, when I see someone sincere, then I purify them so they can come to me. They can make advancement towards pure Krishna consciousness. I dwell in the heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So as Prabhupada consistently said, his only qualification was that he took up the order, he understood his spiritual master's order and he took it up. Similarly, our qualification will be that we take up the order of Krishna coming down through the simple succession and we apply it fully, as much as we can, and that way when Krishna sees our sincerity, or as Prabhupada kept on saying, not only sincerity, but our service attitude, then Krishna will reciprocate and will become Krishna conscious. It is not some, Prabhupada kept on saying, it is not something magical. It is not that if I get some Paramahansa guru, who somehow or another, beyond my present realization, but by my fanatical faith, I believe, is situated talking to Krishna personally. Therefore, only if I get such a guru can I actually make any advancement by some kind of mystical power that my guru has. Then I make advancement. Prabhupada used to decry it, this philosophy, it's just another takeoff, we can say. It's another way of expressing the same idea that my guru touched me and some electrical charge was transferred from him into me, and then by that electrical potency I became self-realized and my guru was left lamenting that he'd lost all his potency. So this is not in accord with Krishna's teachings. He doesn't say that I reveal myself to someone who gets some super powerful guru and then he touches me or he, by his good wishes, I become self-realized. Of course, if we look at Nectar of Devotion, we'll find that in some extraordinary instances that a guru or a devotee of Krishna, like Narada Muni or Krishna, just by their words, just by their good wishes, person has become self-realized. But who are those persons who became self-realized just by the good wishes of Krishna or Narada Muni? One was Prahlad Maharaj. So, the examples given, Prahlad Maharaj, Narada Muni himself. So these are not ordinary persons. These are extraordinary persons. We don't find that the typical way of becoming self-realized is simply to get the extraordinary mercy of Krishna or his pure devotee. Prabhupada himself, explaining that, he said, just like if one wants a college degree, one doesn't expect to sit at home and by some extraordinary mercy have the college award him with a PhD degree or a college degree. The standard method is to go to college, or at least start with public school and work your way up. If one is simply waiting for the extraordinary mercy at home, he'll probably be disappointed. Similarly, if we want Krishna's mercy, if we want to become Krishna conscious, then there's a standard process called sadhana bhakti. And if one learns that process and follows it, then gradually one can see whether he's making progress or not. And if I don't feel I'm making progress, it may be because I haven't understood what the process is and I'm not following it. I have my own idea. So Prabhupada wanted us to develop the service attitude. He wanted us to not be blind servants or fanatical servants. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned, that one should get a clear understanding through service, submission, and inquiry. So blind following, what is that? That means I have no philosophy. Prabhupada wanted us to study these books, not to just become an academic scholar, so we can quote all the different details of our philosophy. I can tell you, how many stages there are to go to Mahabhava. Mana, Sneha, Pranaya, Bhava, Raga, Anuraga, Bhava, Mahabhava. Prabhupada didn't want us to just become an academic scholar. He wanted us to study these books so we can actually reach the conclusion. And what is that conclusion? That factually I'm Krishna's servant. Now, it may sound a little strange that most of us, I am Krishna's servant. What am I doing here? Well, we believe that partially, but to reach perfection, we have to fully understand that. As soon as we fully understand and accept that I'm Krishna's servant and constantly engage in Krishna's service, or the more consistently I engage in Krishna's service, the more I become convinced that I'm Krishna's servant, the more I understand that, and in a practical way, engage in Krishna's service, then the more Krishna will reciprocate with it. It is not a question of learning some esoteric philosophy, some esoteric meditation, some new way of seeing things, different from whatever Prabhupada said, that these old ways are too boring, it didn't work for anyone, so we got to get something exciting and extraordinary. that produces self-realization in a moment by some extraordinary mercy. So we may want to be cheated like that. And indeed, we see a whole mission destroyed because people wanted to be cheated like that. The Gaudiya Math probably said it was destroyed just because people didn't want to accept the simple orders coming down in the simple succession. They all created their own ideas. It wasn't big ideas at first. It wasn't that they suddenly declared that they were all God and that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was God, and simply he was out of his humility, he didn't tell us that. They didn't start with such a big deviation. They started with the deviation. They couldn't accept what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada said, namely, to work cooperatively to spread Krishna consciousness. It was just too much for them, because they all had the idea that, how can I cooperate with this person? How do I know whether he's actually sincere or not? The whole deviation came because of personal ambition, that they wanted to be something more than guru. And Krishna gave them an opportunity to try to become more than guru, to prove that they could actually be the acharya themselves, independently working cooperatively. And on that basis, the deviation grew and grew. In other words, they felt they just couldn't tolerate working with anyone else except for themselves. And that everyone else, it was all right if they understood everything perfectly because they were so advanced. They had such good ideas, and they wanted to try their ideas out to prove that they were actually very advanced. So instead of trying to improve themselves in Krishna consciousness, instead of trying to, even if they were perfect in Krishna consciousness, prove the perfection of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's ideas, they wanted to prove their own ideas. And one after another, they tried to be independent authorities, and they failed. Because they added 1 + 1, and they got 3, and after that, everything else they did was more or less, in terms of absolute understanding, ineffective. Ineffective in this sense, their only mission is to become a servant of Krishna. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalaya Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Not to become the master. Not to become the acharya. Not to become anything else other than simply a servant of the disciple succession. And that means to become a servant of all the servants of Krishna. So if I deviate from the instructions coming from from Krishna through the disciple succession, then not only I won't become a servant of my own spiritual master, but I won't become a servant of anyone else either. I won't see how Krishna, within the heart of the devotees, the other devotees, is inspiring them to follow his instructions to some degree and is helping them repeat the message of Krishna, his message, from within the heart as a super soul with some understanding and some realization. In any case, the basic thing is that anyone who repeats Krishna's message as it is, coming into simple succession, anyone who follows Krishna's instructions, he has to be taken as a representative of Krishna. Whether he's the Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru or Vartma Pradaksha Guru, he must be taken as some kind of guru. So the mistake is trying to become guru rather than servant of guru. And if I'm not servant of the guru, who's actually the servant of all the other gurus, just like Prabhupada said, I don't really consider myself to be guru. I see that my spiritual master has sent me so many gurus to help train them up in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada himself didn't consider himself the master, he considered himself the servant. So our perfection is not to try to become the master or to put Prabhupada as the master. Is to understand that Prabhupada's perfection is that he was actually a servant. And that will be our perfection too, to become a servant of Krishna and his devotees, not to become an independent master. So the Gaudiya Math, we hear nowadays, some of their movements, they're trying to put their present acharya as the master, and he's encouraging them to do that. And they're even trying to put Prabhupada as the master, rather than as the perfect servant of his spiritual master. And What is the reason? It's because they themselves, subtly or grossly, want to become the masters themselves, along with their followers. So that's why we're here since time immemorial. That desire is there. And the only way of freeing that desire is to learn how to become a good servant. It's not that we have to artificially stop trying to become the master. We have to learn how to become a sincere servant. And as Prabhupada would say so many times, it is not so horrible to become a servant of Krishna. It is not like service in this material world that we have to try to avoid. It is not that we'll go, that loving service to Krishna, that even Krishna wants to become a loving servant to Krishna. Therefore he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That there's nothing higher than to become a loving servant of Krishna. So, although we may not understand that due to our conditioned nature, and we can see that it is not so easy to understand it and accept it, but we should try to understand and accept it, and then see for ourselves whether actually this will actually give us the higher taste that we're hankering for. But Prabhupada, he wrote so many books, he gave so many talks, he wrote so many letters, and I think if we consistently examine these things, we will find out that the same idea was there. He wanted everyone, whatever their position, GBC, initiating spiritual master, preacher, pujari, everyone to have this service attitude, that we're all working cooperatively to spread Krishna consciousness. We're not working cooperatively so that ultimately we can all become masters and divide up the world ourselves and become masters of so many other people. That now I'm becoming a better book distributor, I'm learning how to control people better, and therefore one day I'll become so perfect I'll be able to control everyone. For Krishna, of course. Or now I've perfected my ability to manage, and now I'm managing so many people, and in the future I'll control so many people for Krishna. For Krishna, of course. No, the whole idea is not that. It's to learn a service attitude. That I'm simply a servant of my spiritual master and Krishna, and that they've asked me to do this activity. I'm simply doing it because they asked me to do it. And I'm doing it just to please them. This is called service attitude. And that's the perfection of our activities. Not that now I'm progressing. At first I was just a bhakta. Now I have a new name. Now people can't get me to do all the things that they don't want to do. I'm not a bhakta anymore. And now, not only am I a bhakta, but I got second initiation. So now I can choose what I want to do even more. And now, not only that, but they made me the temple commander, and I can tell everyone else what to do. And now I've become the temple president. And my life is progressing. And how do I know? Because more people are following my instructions, and I'm following less of other people's instructions. And now my perfection is nearing. I become a GDC, and now I tell everyone what to do, and I don't listen to anyone. And who knows, in the future, maybe I'll become an avatar. And I'll give some new teachings, even what Krishna hasn't given so far. So this idea of progress by becoming independently something other than a servant of Krishna's servants, this is commonly known in the Vedic literature as Maya. And we can continue on with that process, and the result will be there are so many speculations arise out of that to justify the fact that I can offend so many people, I can offend so many devotees, I can become independent, I don't have to do what Krishna wants me to do, and still I'm going to make progress in devotional service, by Krishna's mercy, of course. Or by the mercy of my acharya. So the message I'm trying to convey is that we should try to understand Prabhupada's teachings and his greatness and why we have a movement at all, and understand how we can progress in devotional service, how Srila Prabhupada is our acharya, because no one in history has conveyed such a practical service attitude. Not that he was only wishing to become a servant of Srimati Radharani and the gopis in Vrindavan. Prabhupada, he wished to become a servant of his spiritual master by practically doing what his spiritual master asked him to do. Namely, to spread Krishna consciousness around the world in practical ways by creating a movement where devotees cooperate, especially to spread Krishna consciousness. And the principal means is by distributing transcendental knowledge, especially in the form of books. So Srila Prabhupada based his movement upon this, and I think if any reasonable person, any intelligent person, they think about it deeply, they'll see that this is perfection. There's no better method in this age than spreading Krishna consciousness than through transcendental literature in the form of books. Of course, other things are also welcome. Movies and TV, radio, all these things are also welcome, but people's memories are quite short. They can see a television program or a movie and they'll forget the next day. But if the book's there, they can always refer to it if they're actually interested. And there has to be, since in the spiritual world there are people cooperating to please Krishna, there has to be some movement here where people actually cooperate to please Krishna. Then it makes sense what's in the book. Then people can see how to apply the book, what's in the book, what's in the teachings ultimately, in a practical way. In a cultural movement to re-spiritualize the society so people accept the fact that they're Krishna's servants and they, in a practical way, they utilize their energies to serve Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada stressed, as I just repeat again, that Prabhupada showed us how to become a servant of the Guru in disciple succession. Prabhupada said, I may be a conditioned soul. Matter of fact, Prabhupada used to say, I am a conditioned soul. But because I'm repeating the message in disciple succession coming down from Krishna, therefore if you take that message and follow it, understand it and follow it, then you'll be perfect. I may be perfect, I may not be perfect, that doesn't matter. But because I'm repeating the message in the disciple succession coming from Krishna and trying to follow it to my best ability, that if you understand that message and follow it, you'll be perfect. And that message is quite simple. Be constantly engaged in Krishna's service with a spirit of loving attitude, trying to please Krishna and his representatives, his bona fide representatives. Then again, we want to say what Prabhupada said was bona fide. Sometimes they want to make that only if you're a Mahabhagavata guru, personally talking to Krishna, you have a certificate signed by him, written in Sanskrit or some language in the spiritual world, personally signed by him and authorized by Srimati Radharani, then you're bona fide. So then the question is, did Prabhupada ever present us his qualification that, my dearest students, I'd like you to know that I'm a Mahabhagavat? And Prabhupada sometimes would indicate that he came from the spiritual world, sometimes other things. But generally he didn't say, my dear sons and daughters, I'm a Mahabhagavat, I came from the spiritual world. You don't really have to study my books or understanding things very clearly, that these are my teachings, just accept them and everything will be all right. No, Prabhupada said, for instance, he said, anyone who says that he's a liberated person, he's bogus. That a liberated person never says he's liberated. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami didn't say, please study the Chaitanya Charitamrita because I'm a great Mahabhagavata. I'm relishing the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, if you take shelter of me, everything will become perfect in your life. Now he said the exact opposite. He said that I'm lower than the worm and stool. That anyone who takes my name and chants it, they'll lose all his pious activities, their pious activities. So a liberated soul, he never says he's a liberated soul. He simply says, I'm the servant of a liberated soul. And why is he my spiritual master liberated? How do I know? Because he's perfectly repeating what Krishna said. In disciple succession, and he's following the teachings himself. And therefore, I'm trying to do the same thing. So this is how Srila Prabhupada presented himself. And we should try to understand that the perfection, as Prabhupada said, of the Acharya, is not that he knows all the he's omniscient, he knows all the verses and all the books, and that he never makes a mistake. Everything is perfect. No, Prabhupada said his perfection is how he's preaching the Krishna consciousness movement. That's his perfection. So Prabhupada said here, a bona fide regarding the teachings of this letter to Nandarani, Navadweep, 29 October 1967, regarding the teachings in the temple, every one of my disciples may become a teacher, strictly following my instructions. I am a bona fide teacher as long as I follow the instructions of my spiritual master. That is only one qualification. That is the only one qualification for becoming a teacher. In other words, that's the only qualification for becoming a teacher. As soon as one deviates from this principle, one is no longer a teacher. So Prabhupada said there's only one qualification for becoming a teacher. That is, you repeat the messages of your teacher. And if he's in the step of succession coming from Krishna, then you're qualified. And as soon as you stop that, then you're not bona fide anymore. And anyone who says anything different, they're not bona fide. So we should try and understand these simple things. And if we understand them and apply them, then we'll become Krishna conscious. And if we have some other idea, then it'll be very difficult to understand where we're going to wind up. So I think I'll stop there. Thank you for your kind attention. What do you think? Well, since Krishna had, if you examine the literature, you'll find out that Advaita Acharya, he was very, Lord Shiva, he was very disturbed about Kali Yuga. So he went to Mahavishnu and told him about the disturbances in Kali Yuga, what will happen to the souls, what to do. So then they decided that Mahavishnu and Lord Shiva would come jointly together as Advaita Acharya in Kali Yuga to spread Krishna consciousness. So Advaita Acharya happens to be God, and therefore he came in order to do what was necessary. Then we find out there was other stories where they had went to Lord Chaitanya or Krishna in the spiritual world, because there's different Kali Yugas too. And they told him about the problems in Kali Yuga, and he said, "Don't worry, I'm going to come as Lord Chaitanya." So we can understand that Advaita Acharya was acting as an instrument to fulfill the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had first sent his parents, his elder members, like the Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri. These are all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's confidential associates, Advaita Acharya. He first sent them to make the situation, to arrange the situation for his appearance. So it's not by accident that Advaita Acharya was here. It was by the orders of Lord Krishna that he was here. Yes, when we're on the liberated platform, everything is spontaneous. You do what you want to please Krishna. But of course, you want to find out what Krishna wants. But Krishna likes a lot of things. He likes our attitude of trying to please him. So on the transcendental platform, everything is spontaneous. And on this platform, as soon as we become spontaneous, that's called Maya. As soon as we spontaneously don't try and find out what Krishna wants us to do. After all, this body is not what's supposed to be spontaneous. Spontaneous in this body means sense gratification. So for this body and this current conditioned mind we have, the current material body, the idea is to surrender it to Krishna. Give up our own conceptions to surrender it to Krishna. Spontaneous on this platform, trying to become spontaneous here, means trying to become independent of Krishna. But when we surrender our body and mind in Krishna's service, then we become free, and on that freedom platform, then we're spontaneous. We want to become spontaneous materially, that's called, and at the same time spiritual, that's called Prakriti Sahajya. Taking the spiritual platform as something very cheap. So yes, there's a platform of spontaneity, and that's arrived at when we come to the spiritual platform. Then everything we do there, and that platform is based on a spontaneous desire to serve Krishna. And on this platform, when we try to become spontaneous, when we're not trying to seek after what Krishna wants us to do, sincerely, become very much conscious of it, then we become even more conditioned. Even on the spiritual platform, we have some spontaneous desire, but everyone there, they'll arrange for it. But we always consider ourselves simply the servant of everyone there. Even Srimati Radharani, she has her pastimes with Krishna because that's what all the other devotees are arranging for her. She thinks herself a servant of all the other devotees. Not that she got some creative idea and one day she left all her associates behind and decided to become, you know, paint pictures of Krishna, and, you know, because all these gopis were impeding her spontaneous desire. So now she decided to paint modern art for Krishna. No, it's not like that. There's an adjustment. Everything is completely spontaneous, desire to serve Krishna, and completely is not only Krishna is holding a flute, but a desire to serve all the devotees. This is a spontaneous way, creative way to serve all the devotees. And all the devotees will affirm that that's actually very nice before someone will do it. Not that I got a creative idea to serve all the devotees, but none of them like it, but I'm going to do it anyhow because it's my creative idea. But there, Radharani is cooking every day, unlimited sweets and unlimited, you know, so many preparations for Krishna. It's always new every day. And Krishna likes it. It's always wonderful. So there, there's creativity. But sometimes Krishna indicates, sometimes he'll take a laddu that Srimati Radharani made and he'll make a horrible face and spit it out. Although he likes it, but then Radharani gets really disturbed. That's in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And then Sarup, a cowherd boy, he eats the laddu and thinks that this is amazingly wonderful. But still Krishna does that sometimes. He'll make a terrible face and spit it out. And then Radharani will think, oh my God. So that's one of the platforms of loving exchanges. Distribution of literature? Prabhupada, so the idea, what the question is, where the idea is to distribute literature? Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was walking with Prabhupada at Radhakund one time. And he said that right now we have this big building made out of marble in the Bagh Bazaar. And now there's a lot of dissension amongst my disciples, who's going to stay in what room, just like I read here. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? Anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga hokshuje anarto pas lokasya janato vidvam chakre satvita samhita. Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam to enlighten people in the sage. It's in the Bhagavatam. Yad vachas chitrit padam hariyarya shau jagat praritam parigriha karichit tadvayasam tirta uschanti manasau yatrahang sani ramant yushikshaya. That literature, which is full of the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is meant to make a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Although such literature may be imperfectly composed, still it's heard, sung, and accepted by purified persons who are thoroughly honest. So it's right there in the Bhagavatam. Because they don't accept Prabhupada. Now, generally, we see things differently because we're individuals or we're simply envious, that's all. Generally, it's more, you know, it depends what part of the teaching you're talking about, because there's details and then there's the actual basic instructions. Because basically, where do they get it from? Maya. Maya. Maya has her disciple succession, too. Yogats chalati manasa. So when a Ridvik says, someone who's a Ridvik defining them, they say, you don't have to surrender to any current person. You don't have to follow anyone's instructions. You have to surrender to Prabhupada directly. So then the question is, how do you find out that you were supposed to surrender to Prabhupada directly? The only way you can find out is to hear from them. So once you get to a contradictory, illogical conclusion, in other words, Prabhupada said it was the same thing. Some guru comes and says, all you become guru. You don't need guru. So as soon as you try to become guru, then you're accepting him as guru. Or some fool writes a book that there's no need to read books. So what are you reading his book for? So as soon as someone says, don't surrender to anyone, surrender only directly to Prabhupada, but then you're hearing that from them, so actually you're surrendering to them. So right away, you know they're a fool. And then anyone who takes up such a foolish teaching, they also have to be a fool. They're surrendering to a fool, and therefore they become a fool. So they may give so many logical arguments. You know, this thing's bad, that thing's bad, and everyone can say, that's right, that's right. And then finally, everything they say is right. They go, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 2 = 6, and 6 + 2 = 10. And you go, well, that's wrong. 6 + 2 = 10. And they go, but everything else was right. Why don't you accept the conclusion? Well, the last part wasn't right. What do you mean? This 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 2 = 6, 6 + 2 = 8, or whatever. So they keep on going back to what they said was right, and they just deny that. That proves what they said is wrong. But you may say so many things right, but we're interested in what you said that was wrong. We're pointing that as wrong. You can't prove that what you said is wrong is right because everything else you said was right, except for what you said was wrong. Yes. This may be true, so we should take time to reflect. That way we'll understand that people like the Ridviks and other people are bogus. And if it's not so clear, then we should take some time to reflect and understand these things. We can understand how they're right, but we should also understand how they're wrong. That's good. Better to be ABC, remain a servant, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. He went to his spiritual master, he said that I chanted Hare Krishna and I have no real qualification. Other than that. And his spiritual master said, that's very good. Keep yourself, spread the Sankirtan movement, take it up and spread it. Prabhupada said he never presented himself as, a great personality. Now I've superseded my spiritual master. Now his elementary teachings I don't accept anymore. I've gone beyond that. Prabhupada said, better off to keep oneself a fool before the spiritual master eternally. Then one can make some progress. And as soon as I think I'm better than my spiritual master, my spiritual master is gone. I don't need him anymore. Then it's yasya prasadam bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. Then no one will know where you're going either, what your destination is. So better off when keep oneself a humble servant to the spiritual master. As soon as I think I'm so qualified, I don't have to become a humble servant to my spiritual master. Then nagati kutopi, it's all done. Yes. I think we have to stop there, don't we? So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's appearance day ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's book distribution ki jai. Reading Srila Prabhupada's books ki. Srila Prabhupada's servants ki. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki. Gaur Premanande.